Well, if you're feeling a great disturbance of the force, it's not Margaret going to the bathroom again. No, it's the amazing Christmas promotions that we've got for you guys, and this year we wanted to give something to all of our Backstage Pass members, and that's why you're all automatically entered, if you're a BSP, to win a Star Wars The Force Awakens Christmas package, featuring two tickets to the biggest movie release of all time. We're choosing a new winner every show this month, so make sure you listen to the podcast to hear your name, and today, man, we got winner number 6 of the Star Wars package, and that is Jason L.
Yeah!
All right. Jason L. is our winner today of our Star Wars package. Now, this next one's just for our annual BSP members. You have to have an annual backstage pass. Our grand prize winner and a guest will be flown out to L.A. to have dinner and see the movie with me. That's right. You heard me right. We'll fly you out to Los Angeles. We'll head over to Ted's of Beverly Hills for juicy ribeye or another steakhouse if Ted's is overbooked. And then pop on over to Universal Studios Hollywood to watch the movie in stunning IMAX. If you don't have a BSP, sign up now at www.philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Already a monthly member? You are? Upgrade to an annual pass to be eligible for our grand prize. Good luck, and may the Force be with you.
And now, it's time for Lion's Line. Lion's Line, a look at the game just passed and the one just ahead in the Milwaukee Lion football schedule. Lion's Line, brought to you by Dr. Worcester's Powder. It kicks a headache's ass. And by Rick Priel Speed Shops. Rick Priel Speed Shops. They'll get your car running, running faster than it ever has, and they ain't stopping for shit. And now, here is the voice of the Milwaukee Lions, Jack I. Gagner.
All right, thanks, Rudy, and hello, everybody. Welcome to Lions Line here for this just concluded week 14. We're going into week 15 as the Lions take on...
Doesn't get any easier, does it?
Doesn't get any easier, Jesus. The Lions just, we'll get into what happened. We'll get into what took place, what we all witnessed last Sunday at Duckworth Memorial. But just so you know, the Lions are going to be facing the Portland Logs, as you know. A lot of you circled that game on your calendar. I don't know whether you want to keep it circled or not. Maybe you want to just, erase it or something.
Well, I mean, the fans want to go see it.
Yeah. Let me bring in an actual commentator. I appreciate Earl Cooch is with us, folks, our producer.
Hey, look, as I said, I try to keep everybody honest around here.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen your family's history. I'm kidding around.
What do you mean, my family?
I was just joking.
Just trying to make some jokes about the horse thieving.
We'll put it on the table. No problem. My family was involved in horse thievery in the 19th century. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, okay.
I still feel like I want to go out and rob a horse? Shit.
Well, I didn't say rob a horse, but...
God damn.
Oh, God. All right. Come on, everybody. Let's lighten it up a little bit, because God knows this is going to be a very deadly program in terms of what we got to deal with. Anyway, Brett Morrison with me, my... commentator. Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Jack, considering, as you're right, things we have to talk about.
And on this day, of course, this is Lions Line Day. It means that Tutch Gerber is having dinner with Mother, and...
Well, it's a boy having dinner.
Yeah, Earl, what is it with you, man? I mean, do you every single thing that I say...
I've got Edna's back, and you can say anything you want about buttering the buns.
I didn't say butter. I said you know which side of the bread the butter's on. I didn't say you're buttering.
You innovated that I butter up Edna Gerber's buns. You made hold of me. God, Jesus. Oh, what the hell? You know something? You ought to go to a doctor.
I ought to go to a doctor. First of all, you tell me that Edna Gerber made note of the fact that I said you buttered her buns. I never said anything of the sort. I did say that saying, knowing which side of the bread the butter's on when we're talking about the female owner. Forget it. What am I doing here, Brett?
Well, you always get sidetracked by Earl.
I'm not trying to sidetrack you, Jack. I'm here for your support. Your support alone.
Bullshit. You just said you're... All right. So, folks, thank you very much. Great to see you. This past week at Duckworth Memorial, you and I saw it. We witnessed it. There's no way that we could get away from it. And that was the Milwaukee Lions dropping one to the San Antonio Range Riders in overtime after leading by 13 points, being outscored basically in the second half, Brett. Where were they outscored by?
Well, they went into the second half. They had 20... Not 20, they had 19 points, 19 to nothing in the second half.
19-0 in the second half is how all of it came. Well, here's the thing right here. It was 16. They got 16 points. We're talking about 19-0. 16 points. The Lions scored 20 points, and that was it. And in the second half, it was a 20-10 ball game. I got this all laid out. Shit.
Oh, we got to read it from left to right.
I know that. The Lions were leading 10-0 the Lions were
I'm going to kill somebody.
The Lions were leading.
Oh, you're not throwing me out of the booth, are you?
No, I'm not throwing you. The Lions were leading 20-10 at halftime, and they got outscored 16-0 in the second half, which includes, of course, that overtime period where the quarterback Tommy Bload hit Brady Wieglix. Brady Wieglix, I don't think had his number called in years. Now, he had just been moved up into the starting positions there in the San Antonio Range Rider Corps. What can you tell us about him, Brent?
Well, the Lions were using, San Antonio Range Riders are using a variety of wide receivers I hadn't seen before. Austin Brownnose was one.
Austin Brownnose had a big catch in the first half.
Right. And then came Brady Wieglix. So all these guys that we've been looking at, Marcus Gassman, of course, to take a look at Lomas Doorbell. You always want to cover Donnie Clauber because Donnie Clauber is a threat to break one every time. Not to mention the fact, a very comparable running attack, but it was Brady Wieglix there who had the big touchdown pass that put away the Lions there in overtime.
Well, the Lions, it was just a heartbreaker because the Lions had the lead through the entire football game until the last 2 minutes and 40 seconds or so of that ball game. And so without further ado, what we'll do is take you through this abomination of a ball game, starting out with the very first score of the afternoon. The Lions came out with big high hopes. They felt like they might have, they might have a chance to make the playoffs. We said that if the Lions had not won this ball game, they wouldn't make the playoffs. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, you're absolutely sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because Tampa's beat them twice.
Yeah, Tampa's beat us twice. And what about the other teams?
In the tiebreaker, if you're eliminated in your division, you're eliminated. It doesn't make any difference about San Antonio or the rest of those teams or D.C. In our division, we're eliminated because we lost twice to Tampa. Tampa could go to 8-8, and they're going to wind up with San Antonio is 7-7, right?
No, San Antonio is 7-7, and so they're not.
San Antonio is 7-7, so San Antonio could get into the playoffs with the record of 7-7. Let's just shut up about it. I can't take this any longer. Let's listen to the highlights of this thing. If you want to call them highlights, you call them anything you want. Things began out very. Things started out very nice as the Milwaukee Lions, in the person of our quarterback Aaron Floinian, hit Jared Sled Bunny for the touchdown there in the first quarter. First and 10, the 19-yard line, 3:21 to go, no scores. The Lions hold the San Antonio Range Riders on two successive offensive series. Here is Aaron Floinian dropping back to pass to the 14-yard line, looking downfield, throwing downfield at the far sideline. The ball is caught. It is caught by Jared Sled Bunny. He outruns the defense for the touchdown. Sled Bunny catches him at the 40-yard line. Beautiful pass.
Jared, you better believe that, Jack. Aaron Floinian threw a strike to Jared Sled Bunny the far side. It was caught around the 40-yard line, right over top of about three or four of those San Antonio Range Rider defenders. It was Jared Sled Bunny off of the races.
It was Pogo. It was Reptile. It was Bohaven, both the safeties. But Kenny Pogo was trying to cover Sled Bunny on that play, man. He was way out of position,
yes,
baby.
Sled
Bunny skied for that ball. It was a great catch by Jared. God knows he's dropped his fair share of footballs this season, as have all of our guys. Really, you want to talk about the name of the game. At the very bottom line of this football game, our defense sucked hard, sucked evenly, and sucked till their...
You're going to say till their face caved in.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
The entire defense's face caved in.
Yeah. And by the way, our special guest didn't even tell you, in Lions line today is going to be Biggie Little, the nose tackle for the Milwaukee Lions. And I don't think Biggie's going to argue with that when I say they sucked till their faces gave way. And
Biggie Little, yeah, right. You're going to say that to him.
Yeah, Earl, I am going to say that to him because they sucked ass. They that last quarter of football, God, forget about overtime. The last quarter of football, third down after third down, and then they get the big first down on 4th-and-7? I'm telling you, folks, it's enough to make a grown man weep like, excuse my language,
like a bitch.
All right, here is the second score of the ball game. You're going to hear here as Donnie Clauber fumbles the football. The Lions are going to turn this around with a score. Here is the kick by the Lions by Itchy Winston's coming down to the goal line there, and the ball being brought up by Donnie Clauber. Clauber coming out across the 20-yard line. There's a fumble on the play, and the Lions recover the ball at the 30-yard line. Clauber fumbled the ball. There's Donnie Klauber fumbling on a kickoff. Donnie Klauber figuring prominently in this win, but a San Antonio Range Riders redeeming himself later on in the ballgame. But certainly, that was an opportunity the Lions was not going to miss.
Here's the kick for 3 points. Itchy Winston puts it up and through. It's the Lions 10, San Antonio nothing on a Milwaukee Lion radio network.
So there's the Lions now with a 10-0 lead. We're still in the first quarter. Things are looking good. I'm settling back. I don't care if Touch is off getting hamburgers or getting milkshakes or whatever he's doing, whittling, you know, I'll say it, then I know we get letters, whittling dick. And
we know we have a lot of people to get in the letters, too.
Yeah, hey, by the way, who's that woman, Karen Weedwacker or something?
Oh, that lady, she hasn't read a letter lately, but we do have a few letters that have, been upset with your language.
Isn't that just too bad? Maybe they understand now. If you're a Lions fan and you weren't swearing like a sailor during this football game, forget it. Here we come now into the, still in the first quarter. The Lions are up by 10-0, and guess what? Laszlo Ripa picks one off. By the way, I know you don't have to tell me, I butchered the call during one series of plays. I kept on calling, I should have called him Wayne Lightouch. I kept on calling him Tiny Bifflington. I apologize, folks. I do have, because of the rotten play of the Lions, I have probably drank more this season than I should.
You're not going to blame the Lions for that.
Well, yeah, Earl, be quiet, please.
Yeah, Earl, just shut up. You have to comment on anything. Although, are you blaming the Lions for that?
Yes, I am blaming the Lions for that. I'm blaming the Lions for that, and I don't think I'm the only one when I say that I am drinking heavily as the result of their rotten play. And I think I speak for a lot of fans. I think the beer sales in Milwaukee, God knows it's a beer town. Thank God. Thank God, because of the football team we've got, there ain't no too far of a way that you got to walk or drive to get a nice big six-pack of beer. All right. So here is Laszlo Ripa. Beautiful play. Intercepting Tommy Bload, returning it, so it puts us in a position for another field goal.
Back to pass is Tommy Bload to the 20-yard line, throwing the ball to the near sideline. It's picked off by the Lions. Picked up by Milwaukee, down to the 16-yard line. The Lions, Laszlo Ripa picked the ball off at the 36-yard line, returning at 19 yards. We're at the 17-yard line. The Lions, first and 10. Big, big break. Great defensive play by Laszlo Ripa, stepping in front of Klauber for that pick.
Nice break, but guess what? The Lions could not turn that into a touchdown. And if Brett Morrison, I would say, there's anything significant about this football game besides the crap can play of our defense, it was our inability of our offense to convert these into points.
Well, you got to do that, Jack. I mean, I don't want to criticize the offense too much. They scored, gosh knows they scored enough points in this football game, I think, to win, had our defense played better. Giving up the big plays was terrible, but that having been said, when you get down in the red zone, brother, you better Turklington.
What do you mean Turklington?
I'm trying to say, but when you get down to the red zone, you better turn it into points. And I just turned that into Turklington because of, didn't we have a defensive tackle?
Yeah, we did. We had a guy by the name of Stuff Turklington about 10 years ago when we were in AFL 2. A lot of people have written me, by the way. So what's AFL 2? A lot of young fans, Jack?
Well, AFL 2, of course, was a league formed in the early 90s as a result of, Brulee Hart.
Yeah, Brulee Hart is our commissioner. He formed AFL, too. He also had a league called the Pacific Football League. But now this Hillbilly Football Conference is his third brainchild and seems to be the most successful of all of these endeavors because the markets are bigger. Anyway, I don't want to get into it because there's... All right, so here are the Lions now after that big interception. But guess what? The Lions are not able to turn this into anything other than what it is.
Ball now, the ball at the 8-yard line. Better be a shame for the Lions to have to settle for another field goal. Three wide receivers in tight on the near side. Back to passes, Aaron floating from the 12-yard line, throwing it toward the goal line. Almost picked off. Fourth down. Fuck.
Not Jack, you know.
Hey, Earl, what is it? Every time I say fuck, she's going to call?
She wants to go on the Gerber line.
Let her call the fucking Gerber line. I told you already. I said to her, I get to rip it out of the wall. So now the Lions again have to settle for the field goal.
Boy, Jack, the Lions are so lucky that ball wasn't picked off. I mean, waiting for the ball was Bobby Lurch.
Here's the field goal try by Itchy Winston. Yeah, Bobby Lurch was waiting there. Hophead was waiting for the ball, but Bobby Lurch was the guy that was going to catch it if he had any hands on him. I mean, he stepped in front almost as if he was the receiver. Out of the Lions with the field goal, it's 13-0 Lions over to San Antonio Range Riders, the Milwaukee Lion Radio Network.
So the Milwaukee Lions, So the Milwaukee Lions go to 13-0. They're going to come back, and we've got the rest of these highlights for you. But just keep in mind where we are right now. Even if we hadn't scored the touchdown there, we got a 13-0 lead. Imagine if we had scored. And
well, you heard the call, Jack. You heard your call there. It was Aaron Flonian almost threw the pick.
The I tell you what, it's almost like we don't like success. We'll be right back with more of the highlights here in this Lions Line Week 14 results. Taking a look at Week 15, the Lions taking on Portland this weekend at the Duckworth Memorial.
Lions Line, brought to you by... Hey, this is Rick Priel. Rick Priel Speed Shops. Rick Priel Speed Shops will uncork your car. We'll do the carburetors. We'll do all of the work there on the lifters. We'll make sure that we got the shocks in shape. We'll make sure the car is completely in shape, completely set up right for New Year's Eve. So when you go cruising, wherever you cruise on New Year's Eve, you're going to go like a bat out of hell. They don't know whether to shit or shine. They won't know whether to look or flip. They won't know whether to fall in love or commit Harry Carey, man. Rick Priel Speed Shop, we go like a bat out of hell. We ain't stopping for shit.
Please drive carefully. Hi, Jim Gass here for Jim Gass House of Gas. Have you tried Jim Gass House of Gas? We're in downtown Milwaukee. We've also got two new Jim Gass House of Gases out in the suburbs. We're out in Lister and, of course, in New Berlin. You know, I tell you, people ask me, Jim, what kind of gas should I suck? Sometimes you don't need gas, but when you do, when you got to get the gas, I got the House of Gas. Got nitrous oxide, oxygens, all kinds of flavored gases, because we feel that America today doesn't need nicotine. We don't need cocaine. We don't need caffeine. We don't need any of these things. We need gas. I mean, we need air. Let me breathe, man. What is your name, sir?
Leon Elfin.
And Leon, how long have you been breathing our house of gas?
Well, I walked in a couple of days ago. I said, God, I gotta breathe, man. I need air. It's been wonderful.
Here's Leon enjoying it right now. Jim Gass House of Gas. I'm Jim Gass. Jim Gass House of Gas. With your handy coupon. Get a lungful.
In Lister and New Berlin. All right, back to Lions Line. And we're listening to the highlights of the game last week. I mean, this is one I hope and I pray, and Earl, please.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, you're entitled to your First Amendment rights.
Well, all right. Well, here's what I'm going to say. I hope and pray that Edna's listening to the show.
Edna's out of town.
Yeah, I figured she was. What, is she off shopping? Is she buying Touch a new boys choir robe or something?
What's that made?
Don't worry about it, Earl. Edna, don't listen to this, wherever you are.
Well, she wouldn't be listening, so she can't hear.
Earl, just be quiet, please.
Earl, he's going to go say that on you. He's going to say it.
Earl, I'm telling you, man, why don't we go ahead and do this? No, I'm going to have Brett Morrison open up the window here so you can just take a look and see what it is that you got out there, man, because, whoo, baby, there's a whole lot of traffic down there, man. Open up the window there, Brett, okay? See that out there?
Yeah, I see it.
Go ahead, close it. I'll walk you over there, and I'll throw you out.
Oh, look. You got to walk me over. You're going to have to drag me, my friend.
I'd have to drag you? I could walk you over there. That's how much strength it would take.
Shit.
Okay, here you go.
Hey, come on. Hey, what are you trying to pull? What are you putting? Come on, Jack. Quit fucking around, will you?
There it is right there. See it?
Shit. Shit.
All right, close it. Okay, so that brings us now. I told him,
I mean, he's going to be coming up here, you know, probably hopping mad.
Well, that really scares me. All right, so anyway, as I was trying to say before I was so rudely interrupted, we had, like I said, lots and lots of football to play. I don't even know what the score is in this ball game, but let's go ahead and listen here as we continue, as the Lions now have to stare in disbelief. The Range Riders finally get their, excuse my language, shit together and score one. 48-yard line to give us a tiny Bifflington to the 45. 40, Bifflington's in the open. He's going to score 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. What the? I don't understand that one at all, man. Tiny Bifflington with a big touchdown run there from scrimmage. Took the handoff, went over the left guard position. It was Ed Magoo that missed the tackle, and then Putney tried to chase him down. And, I mean, all the way in for the score for Tiny Bifflington. And the Lions, to me, again, on that left side. But I'll tell you what, the San Antonio Range Riders found it, man. The Lions are weak on that right side of the defense. That's where Bombi is and all those guys. Here's the kick. It's good. Lions 13, San Antonio 7, Milwaukee Lion Radio Network. Yeah, 13. Yeah, all right. Well, that...
You got pissed off.
Yeah, I got pissed off. And I got more pissed off as the here he comes now. Come in.
God damn. Well, at least I'm... What's the matter? At least I'm...
You knocked.
I did knock. God damn it.
Boy, you don't sound like yourself, Earl.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Earl.
You're welcome, Jack.
Boy, you guys, talk about senility.
Sorry. You don't sound like yourself, Earl. I'm Jack. And you're who again?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I know. You're Dana Loesch.
You know, but anyway.
Boy, when I throw you out a window, Earl, it sounds like you've reverted to some sort of a 19th century sod farmer.
Could very well be. Let me get a drink. I'm going to have to go down to House of Gas.
You know, we've got some of those samples.
Seriously?
We got House of Gas samples?
Oh, yeah. Here.
Don't mind if I do.
That'll work. All right, Earl, you'll be yourself in a second.
Well, I did not do that. Hold on.
Don't mind it. Okay, that's better.
No, that's not better. And please, here's the thing that I would like you to remember, Earl. You are welcome to your opinion, but I'm also welcome to my opinion. Otherwise, you get tossed.
I'm just trying to look out for Ed McGruber.
We got a lot of guys in this building and on this Phil Henry network with the squeak voice, man. I don't know what to say about that. All right, so the Lions led 13-7. It was a frightening eventuality indeed. However, I still was feeling pretty confident. What about you?
I felt confident. I thought the team was on its way to a big game.
But here come, and why not, when J.J. Shanky catches this 68-yarder off the arm of Aaron Floynian.
Ball at the 32-yard line, third down and seven for the Milwaukee Lions. So they got the big strike touchdown and two turnovers, give them two field goals. But hey, let's see what they can do, just kind of grinding it out. Back to pass, 25-yard line, throwing the ball deep downfield, wide open at the 20-yard line. He caught it. It's 81. It's J.J. Shanky, touchdown Lions.
J.J. Shanky wide open, Jack.
Boy, I'll say it was. There's Aaron Floynian. Throws his second touchdown pass in the ballgame. Shanky caught the ball to the 15-yard line and just strolled right on in with it.
Got single coverage there on Jimmy Jajimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy Jajimmy, man. He found himself isolated against J.J. Shanky. Forget it. He was in his dust, and the Lions now stretch the lead to 19-7. In comes Itchy Winston.
Feeling better now, Jack?
A little bit better. Yeah, I feel a little better. Itchy Winston with the extra point. It's good. The Lions 20, San Antonio 7 on the touchdown pass there from Aaron Floynian to J.J. Shanky. 68 yards, a beautiful thing.
All right, so there it is. It's 20-7, and like I said, that momentary fright that we got from the Bifflington touchdown run, is momentarily put in the past. We'll be right back here. We got more of Lions Line here with me, Jack I. Gagner, along with Brett Morrison, Earl Cooch, and later we have an interview with Biggie Little, nose tackle for the Milwaukee Lions. We'll be right back. This is the Milwaukee Lions Lions Line.
Lions Line, brought to you by the great people at Dr. Worcester's Powder.
Dr. Worcester's Powder is what I need. Every day I go to work, and I work in a bell shop. We make bells, and that's a joke. My wife and kids always go, ha-ha, Daddy's going off to the bell shop. And I come back going, woo, and I make a lot of faces. But little do they know that I've got pain in my head. This man has never tried Dr. Worcester's Powder. Try some of this. Thank you. Oh, the pain is gone. My eyes, I see more clearly. I can actually see through your shirt and your pants. I have x-ray vision. Is that normal?
Absolutely.
Dr. Worcester's Powder gives you x-ray vision and momentarily enlarges your skull so you look a bit like an alien. But everything relaxes back into its normal scope in just a half hour. Dr. Worcester's Powder has to do that. In order for it to work, your skull must enlarge and you must have x-ray vision for at least a half hour. Sound kooky?
You bet it sounds kooky. It sounds like something from way out there in, like, what do you call, outer space fiction or...
Talking about science fiction.
Yeah, science. Where'd you come from, Brett?
Thought I'd jump in here in this commercial, get some of this endorsement money.
God damn it, Brett. Every time I try to sign an exclusive contract for an advertiser, your ass is hanging around.
Dr. Worcester's Powder. It's the best, no matter who you are, or what you think you're going to do. Dr. Worcester, that's for me. My skull's enlarged, but I'm pain-free.
Dr. Worcester's Powder. I try it. You should try it, too. You ought to see me when my head gets big, man. Wow, what a party. That's a party night for me and Teresa. I can guarantee you that.
Jesus.
Dr. Worcester's Powder. I use it, too.
This is Riley Carper, and I do the early morning commentaries on Wang News. I'm using the 28 Days Later theme because I want people in the Wang newsroom to realize that as long as they marginalize me, keeping my news for just a minute there before 6 o'clock, something I work on for hours, that I could go rage virus on them. I want them to worry that that little man in that closet could be coming out of there with red eyeballs. Yeah, see what I mean? And it scared him one morning. Well, one of the ladies, one of the weather ladies went, ooh. I'm Riley Carpenter. I do the morning commentary on the Wang News.
The Wang Morning News. Everything. And Riley Carpenter, too.
Riley Carper.
Riley Carper, sorry.
Rage virus!
I'm kidding. It's just a joke. Everyone sit down.
Wang!
Wang.
Lions Line back here at the studios of Wang Radio. And talking about the game last week, I got Earl Cooch here. Are you doing better, Earl?
I'm doing better.
Well, I mean, you know, when a guy says to you,
they're flinging me out the damn window, I got a right to a freedom of speech.
Okay, Earl, you got a right to your freedom of speech. Just allow him to do the job he does, me to do my job, and you can correct this and direct this as to the broadcast. But the whole thing with Edna buttering her buns, you know.
I never said to butter up the bun, and you know that.
All right, so welcome back, folks, here to Lions Line as we look at the San Antonio game from last weekend. Right now, it's a score of 20-7. The Lions look as if they're really going to be, rocking this thing. It looks like, as I said, I think, during that particular period of the game, Brett, I said everybody is partying.
Well, the stadium was, everybody's in a good mood, and it looked like things were moving right along.
We're still in the second quarter, though, and things began to take a bit of a tumble here as the... As the San Antonio Range Riders got Tiny Bifflington into the act.
27, second down and 10. Back to passes. Tommy Bloat at the 30-yard line. Throwing the ball downfield with the 35-yard line. Caught at the 35 to the 30-yard line on an incredible catch. With two receivers there, it's Brown Nose. Are you bullshitting me? It was Hormel and Putney were down there. Aaron Brown Nose, a 6'5", 196-pound wide receiver, made the catch.
Had about a 47-yard pass there from Tommy Bloat and put that one right in Aaron Brown Nose's hands.
Aaron Brown Nose, third down and 7.
I'll bet he Brown Nose got that job.
I don't think so.
Why would you think he's got a Brown Nose to get the job?
I probably did, though. Brown Nose did.
It sounds like a pretty good receiver, but...
Hey, let me just have my moment of the sun, huh?
Oh, baby! All right, so...
Just ignore it.
So what we have here, I mentioned Bifflington. That was actually Aaron Brown Nose, the receiver. So there were the Range Riders. Big, big pickup, and that sets up here a field goal, another field goal by the Range Riders, which is something I'm sure that they hope they would, you know, avoid and probably get a little bit more out of this. However, it's a 20-7 ball game. The field goal here is going to cut the lead to 10.
Hey, there.
So the 42-yard field goal try by Hans Glottel will be attempted. The ball will be at the 35-yard line. He'll be kicking from the, at the 25. He'll be kicking from the 32. Hans Glottel, 42-yard try with a minute 36 to go. The kick is up. It's down the pipe. It's good. And the Lions do well to hold San Antonio to just 3 points. It's the Lions 20, San Antonio 10. You know, I'm looking at the game stats in this ball game. Hans Glottel is a guy, by the way, the last time the Lions played these guys, it was some guy by the name of Fiddle.
Yeah, it was Andrew Fiddle, and was just not getting the job done. Andrew Fiddle missed 4 extra points in that first ball game that the Lions played, and just was not going to get the job done. And so the Lions decided, the San Antonio Range Riders decided they would go with a new kicker. That's Hans Glottel.
This guy, Hans Glottel, knocked in a couple of field goals for the ball club. I think they knocked in, two, and that was that. He also missed the 55-yarder, as did our own Itchy Winston, missing that 55-yarder as well. Want to take a look at some of the stats from the ball game, by the way. Aaron Floinian was 6 of 14 for 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions in the ball game. Wayne Lightouch, I would say, was held to a rather conservative 61 yards, considering.
Well, he had 2.7 yards per carry, Jack, and his longest was a 12-yard rush, which is not exactly the big game that you hope a guy's going to have when you're playing a key game like this.
Also, Jared Slutmoney with 2 catches for 94 yards. J.J. Shakey in on the act. Devin Hophead, but it was Shakey and Slutmoney with the touchdown catches. Now we move on here to still in the second quarter. And along come the Range Riders after cutting it to 10 points. This was the Hans Glottel attempted field goal that was missed for 55 yards.
Shy of the first down by about a half a yard. And now let's see what the San Antonio Range Riders decide to do. I imagine they're going to go for it. They got a good field goal kicker in Glottel. They will.
Hans Glottel going to come in for a 55-yard try.
And this will give them 3 points, put them within a touchdown. 3:35 to go in the third quarter. Glottel, the boot is up. Right down the pipe. It is no good. It was short.
Well, the kick was short, Jack, because he didn't really hit the ball solid.
That didn't look like he did. 55-yard attempt by Hans Glottel is short, and the Lions take over at the 45-yard line in Lion territory.
So there you go. There's a missed field goal, and that was not, as I said, that's not the only missed field goal in the ballgame. The Lions missed one themselves.
Take a look at the defense, by the way, Jack.
for the Lions. They had one interception. That was Laszlo Ripa interception, but only sacked the cornerback one time, Roy Blabbermouth. Lions got to get to the quarterback a lot better than they do. They are. I made the mistake of saying that the Lions were like a middling defensive team. They're really at the low third of the league in terms of everything, from sacks to interceptions. You name it. I think one of the only areas where the Lions really are up there in terms of competitive with the rest of the league is with Wayne Lightouch. By the way, leading the league right now is Portland's Greg Ugly. Also, Avondale Hardon had the lead there for a couple of weeks, but Greg Ugly now up around 1,854 yards. By contrast, you got our own Wayne Lightouch, who's just over 1,400 rushing yards, so he has fallen a little bit off the game plan thus far. All right, so there was that missed field goal by Hans Glottal, but here comes Itchy Winston. Here comes the 45-yard kick try by Itchy Winston. God damn, just run the ball, man. They try to get the cheap first down with a play fake. Here is the kick by Winston. It's up. He fades to the right and misses it.
There's two missed field goals now.
Two field goals missed here within about a minute and a half of each other, and it is a 20-10 Lion lead. The Lions, opted to throw the ball on third down there. They only had a few inches. I think it was like third down in inches, or maybe third down a yard. I think they should have run the football to just try and get the first down. They're going for the touchdown there. And I think it's that kind of play calling, trying to go for these big plays, trying to, instead of just sort of taking what you can. And, man, I'll tell you what.
Wow, it was the Raiders that said, we don't take what they give us. We take what we want.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? That's the Raiders, Earl, okay?
I don't think we can necessarily go that way, Earl, because we don't have the offensive personnel. But I like that saying, don't you?
Yeah, I like the saying if we were that kind of a football team, but we're not. So all of that, the missed field goals, all that nonsense, we're all in the third quarter. Now we find ourselves in the fourth quarter of play. The Lions still have a 20-13 lead. They're down to, I think, the last 3 minutes of play, Brett. And all of a sudden, our asses are hanging in the breeze.
Well, the Milwaukee Lions have been sort of flirting with disaster all through this quarter. But the Range Riders were a football team that was out of options. And so desperation sometimes brings on some fairly heroic acts. And here in the fourth quarter, it was Tommy Bload looking and finding the people he needed to find here to get first down.
Fourth and seven. They're going to go for it here. They got a quarter of play left. They're in a shotgun formation. The Lions have two down linemen in a dime package. Now they take that tight end and move him over from the near side to the far side. Two wide receivers. Lions shifting back to pass. Tommy Bload looking downfield. It's complete. 40. Down to the 35. 30. Down to the 25. Down to the 21-yard line. A big first down and more. The Lions couldn't have been more out of place and could have been more flat-footed on that play. Lions were looking deep all the way. The pass to the tight end Lomas Doorbell.
All right, so now the Range Riders are in touchdown territory, and they're hoping to get the touchdown to pull within three. Unfortunately, though, they pulled a Milwaukee Lion here.
God damn, Jack, you're saying that their level of frustration and inexpertise is the Lions?
Yeah, I would say that, Earl. They're in two down territories, we like to say. They're in the red zone, coming out with a tight end to the near side, two wide receiver to the near side, and a single back of the San Antonio Range Riders. Tommy Bload back to pass in the 20, throwing into the end zone, in and out of the hands there of the wide receiver, wide open was Donnie Clauber, man. I'm telling you, could have been more open. Yes, he did have some coverage over there.
Couldn't have been a better pass, Jack. The ball was up there. Clauber had his hands on it. Trailing the play was Chris Denogan. It was Randall Putney who was there and just missed it.
Here is Hans Glottal for the 33-yard field goal. The kick is up. The kick is good. It is a 20-13 ball game. We'll see whether that missed field goal by the Lions figures in this ball game or not.
Boy, I tell you, this game is, in fact, I think I'm still recovering from this game. I probably have miscalled the score.
Yeah, a couple times you said it was like 20-7, it's 20-10.
Well, whatever, Fact of the matter is we lost the game, so who gives a hot holy f-? But there you have the Lions now giving up another field goal, so they're pulled within 7 points here in the fourth quarter. This fourth quarter became the Lions, as they say, like, you ever read none of that history, like Waterloo?
Yeah, Waterloo. That's, that was a song, too. Waterloo. Love Little Bright Cloud.
No, that was Running Bear. Waterloo.
What? Oh, I know. That was a song by Ray Charles. Waterloo. I've lived my life in pain.
Was that was the one that Ray Charles did?
Oh, you guys are out of your minds. You guys need some kind of brain surgery. That wasn't what's called Born to Lose.
No, it wasn't. Get out of here. Look at the jock.
Well, are you sure? Wait a minute. Wait. Are you sure?
Yeah. What does that mean, Waterloo?
It was Ray Charles.
Waterloo, I've lived my life in pain. God damn, I love that Ray Charles.
Well, I'm a big Ray Charles fan, but I don't know.
So, I'm telling you right now, it's called Born to Lose.
All right, Brett, take it easy, okay?
Yeah, Brett, look, Jock, we have...
Don't call me Jock. Don't call him Jock, okay? He's gonna flip out and throw you out that window.
Look, I don't have no Jock telling me how to do things. Why, for all of my years in the business, I've never... What are you doing? What are you doing?
Thing. You closed it, huh?
Yeah, well, that's what I did. Yeah, I closed it.
I knew it, just I didn't hear it close.
I just kind of closed it gently.
All right, open it up again, will you?
Close it.
Well, he hasn't hit yet.
I don't think so. Or he might just be standing on the street screaming.
Open it up.
Oh, what a brain dead idiot you are. What do you want?
Was that you just standing in the street screaming?
Yeah.
Well, when did you hit?
About 5 seconds before, then I just got up and went, like that.
Get out of it. All right.
Maybe the guy's head's getting harder.
Could be. All right, so that was that, and we'll be right back here on the world-famous Lions Line Show. This is Jack I Gag. They're along with Brett Borson and, of course, Earl Cooch. And we have coming up now the score to tie it and the score to get ready to throw up is what I'm trying to say.
You're listening to Lions Line with Jack I Gagner and Brett Morrison. Brought to you in part by...
Garbo's Auto Repair, a place where you can go and relax. Vince Garbo here. I've been repairing cars in Milwaukee for a long time, and one thing I know, you need to relax. You need to sit down and enjoy yourself. Our place is so relaxing, you won't care whether the car gets fixed. Our place is so relaxing, you'll want to live where we live. You'll want to live with us. You'll want to live with us. Yes, you will. You'll want to live with us.
Mary Chastain of New Berlin.
I had my car repaired at Garbo's. They did a terrible job. It doesn't run. I've got to push start it in the morning, but the experience of bringing it there and waiting for it for the several hours that I did wait for it until I drove it out of there and it ran pretty well for about a mile was so wonderful. There was sex, there was drugs, food, alcohol. It was an orgy of unparalleled proportions.
Garbo's Auto Repair. We're in downtown, of course. That's where every business that advertises with the Lions, either in the game or on Lions Line, that's where they all are, downtown, right next door to Rose's Meatballs.
Hey, come on in Rose's after you get your car fixed, huh? You think you have a good time at Garbo's? Stick a ball in your cheek.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Garbo's Auto Repair.
This is Lions Line as we recap Week 14 action with the Milwaukee Lions against the San Antonio Range Riders. Jack I Gag, they're here along with Brett Morrison, Earl Cooch, just came upstairs. Screwing around with
you. I'm not screwing around with you. That hurt, man. When I decided I just got to go, that I hit. I crawled up. A lady gave me a hand. I pulled myself up onto a table, and then I just went,
What is it with you, man? You don't...
Got things I gotta do. Gerber told me.
Which means you can survive a fall of six stories.
Pretty much, yeah.
Jesus. All right, folks, welcome back here to Lions Line on this, as I said, is going into week 15. We got the Portland Logs coming up. That ain't gonna be any, they're gonna be doing us any favor with that. The Portland Logs right now, arguably the best team in the Hillbilly Football Conference, a record of 12-2. And I mean, these guys, there ain't a whole lot they can't do. They got the leading running back in the league right now with Greg Ugly. They got one of the two top quarterbacks in the league with Cliff Beverly. And by God, they got a defense that's tremendous. L.A. Tan, probably the second best team in this league, I would say, in terms of power rankings, Brent.
Well, I'd say L.A. I think that Miami has knocked out a couple of notches.
Well, Miami lost to New York. As a matter of fact, Miami looks like... Not only does Miami look like they might be showing some vulnerability, but the New York Pets are all of a sudden showing some uncharacteristic strength, and they've beaten some teams. I'm going to tell you something. New York coming off of a win over Miami this past weekend with a 24-21 win over Miami. The week before that, they just destroyed D.C. 53-31. So, you know, and just almost got by Tampa the week before that, 20-16. So I think that the New York Pets are going to be a ball club to watch this weekend. New York is taking on the San Diego Zookeepers. It should not be a problem the way they're playing. Right now, New York at 7-7. So, yeah, there's two teams that are still in the running for the playoffs. I don't know why I said. I'm just saying that the Lions are not in it, Earl.
Yeah, but that's Tampa's not got it sewed up.
Well, let's see. Tampa's playing Tucson.
which, you know, it could go either way in that one. Tampa at 8-6 right now, and New York at 7-7, D.C. 6-8 in the East, San Antonio at 7-7, we're at 6-8 in the Central Division. Results from last week, by the way, San Antonio over the Lions 26-20 in OT, L.A. over Tucson 34-28. There's a ball game Tucson really needed to have salvage any kind of respectability out of this season. Portland 38, San Diego 3, as the Zookeepers continue to be winless. Utah 16, Houston 12. Utah got a big scare at Houston in that one. Tampa had to fight for their lives up at the Gerber Baby Food Dome there in Alexandria, Virginia, finally winning that ball game 32-29, and New York over Miami 24-21. And Hickey Finkley and Stuck Buckley and Corey Flopp, the running back.
Well, like Corey Flopp, I thought was a really good draft. He was slow coming around.
All three of those guys had big games there for the New York Pets. All right, we're getting back into the highlights of this, whatever you want to call it, from last weekend. It wasn't pretty, folks, the Lions and the San Antonio Range Riders. So now here we are in the fourth quarter. There was about 2.5 minutes left in this ball game. And here come the Range Riders to snuff out whatever, you know, whatever bonfire we had lit on the beach of the dreams of the Milwaukee Lions.
The Lions now have to face the San Antonio Range Riders for one more down to fourth down. Obviously, they're not going for a field goal. If I'm the Lions, I cover that end zone. I don't give a damn if they get the first down. Fourth and inches, ball at the 22-yard line, a play fake. Tommy Bloch looking downfield, throws to the end zone, wide open, touchdown. Are you bullshitting me?
Oh, man.
You bite on that, man.
And a big play fake. Tommy Bloch threw it, and there was nobody there on the near side of the end zone to defend.
Everybody on the line defensive side looking for the run. Yeah, who gives a shit, man? So they're looking for the run. Run ain't gonna hurt you here. Not like the pass. That's Donnie Clobber with the touchdown catch. Here's the extra point. The ball is down. The kick is up. It's good. So with 48 fucking seconds left in this game, the Lions give up the touchdown, and it's tied up.
There you go. Tied up when we had a 13-point lead. As you said, Brett, it took them 16 points. They had to shut us out in the second half, which is exactly what they did. We had the lead, we had the win, and now it's tied, and now we're going into overtime, and need I say more, they won the toss, they got the ball, and...
The ball at the 50-yard line now for San Antonio. Single back, two wide receivers to the near side. In motion goes the tight end to the near side. The Lions shifting, back to passes. Tommy Bloch to the 45-yard line. He's looking downfield, throwing deep downfield at the 15-yard line. Caught at the 10-5, touchdown, you fucking cunt.
Wow. Boy, that's exactly what it was. There's no question about it. It's the Lions with the all the momentum in the world. They give it over to San Antonio. The Lions now out of the playoff hunt. San Antonio at 7-7. Coming up, we got Biggie Little. We'll get his thoughts. The nose tackle of Milwaukee Lions here on Lions Line.
Lions Line with Jack Eichagder and Brett Morrison. Brought to you by... Man, I gotta relax. This is Rick Priel, Rick Priel's Speed Shop. I gotta slow it way down, Jack. Way down.
Almost heaven.
Rick Priel's Speed Shop can uncork it. Rick Priel's Speed Shop can fuel it up. All kinds of nitrous fuels, all kinds of rocket fuels. Rick Priel's Speed Shop has sound systems, the big, fat, thick meats. Rick Priel's Speed Shop has the big drag rubbers. Rick Priel's Speed Shop with the air scoops. It can make your car go faster than anything God or man has ever seen. But what he can't do, what he won't do,
is relax!
Rick Priel's Speed Shop.
We ain't stopping for shit!
West Virginia. Rick Priel's Speed Shop, now with three locations in South Newcan.
Rick Priel's Speed Shop. They ain't stopping for shit.
Hello, this is Margot Wheeler wishing all of you a very, very Merry Christmas from...
Way.
And reminding you that Margot Wheeler will wheel about and move towards you in a very slow and methodical way, sometimes bumping into things, but nonetheless moving towards you to wrap her arms around you and make your life better. I'm so very sorry.
Margot Wheeler, weekdays at noon on Wang.
Lions Line, Jack Eichagder, Brett Morrison, Earl Cooch, and on the line with us from Milwaukee is Biggie Little. And Biggie is an acquisition by the Milwaukee Lions that has been nothing but a fantastic and wonderful thing to witness. And Biggie, thanks for joining us. How are you feeling today?
Hey, you know, I'm feeling pretty good.
Now, the loss, you know, you heard us here, Biggie, talking about the loss on Saturday. How'd the team talk about this thing? What was the perspective that was put on this?
Well, you know, we're very disappointed. I mean, we pointed a lot of finger pointing in our locker room, and a lot of blame gets spread around. And I think that that's the way it should be. You know, when a team is losing and playing as badly as we are, and you know, I just felt that it was time to point some fingers at a secondary. I don't think those guys are very good. And I particularly pointed out Randy Putney. You know, I don't doubt that Putney is a slow, you know, he's a slow white man. You know,
well, you talk about Putney being a...
Hold on, Jack. I mean, Earl. I mean...
Well, you guys get the name right.
Yeah, Jack, you got... I've been listening to you on Lions Line. You got to get the names right, man. You're messing everything up, you know.
Well, I know, but I, like I said, listening to you guys play football, I have to drink heavily.
Well, that much I understand, yeah.
All right. So, hold on. What did you want to ask, Earl?
I just want to ask, you say that Putney's a slow white guy.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, the white guy can't play that position. I'm just saying they've got two of these boys... They got two of these white boys back there, and they are, for my money, not doing a job. And so I've got to say, and also in the cornerbacks with Schwab, the only guy we got back there I think got any speed at all. Not Tommy Schwab, but Laszlo Ripa. And, he's a fast one, but I just think, and then you go at our linebackers, and I think Ed Magoo's good. I think that Dobby O'Gill, I think this guy Chris DeNugan, I think that guy ought to get off the Nougats, is my feeling.
Talking to Biggie Little, who is the nose tackle here of the Milwaukee Lions. Well, how do you think of the defensive line? I guess you think it's pretty good.
Well, yeah, I think we're pretty good. I mean, I think, you know, we're the only ones putting any kind of pressure on defense, in my opinion. And I mean, on the offense, in my opinion. So I think we're good. I think I'm good. I think Blabbermouth good. I think Boneby good. I don't want to badmouth the team, but I think our defense needs to play better. And so I stood up in a meeting and I said, look, all of you clowns have really got to begin to give it 100%. And I singled them out. I said, look, all you secondary guys, you're clowning it out down there, man. You are not getting it done. You've got to begin to make some moves and make it sweet and tight and give it a little bit of oomph, because right now, the way you're playing, man, I wouldn't show up to a corpse burning, man, if it was, you know, Night of the Living Dead or something. I said I wouldn't put you guys on the fire with a hook, you know. And so they understood, and I think we're going to try to go out these last two games and play the very, very best that money can buy.
Biggie, going to the offensive side of the football, by the way, how is the team doing with Lufthansa? How's the locker room?
Well, Marty, you know, he's a lot of us got upset with him because he was on the phone with his wife making dinner arrangements not 2 minutes after we got into the locker room. So I stood up in the locker, I said, Marty, what's this about? And he said it's just that they had not, it had taken them 6 months to get reservations for this one restaurant in North Milwaukee. I said, okay, well, I understand that. I said, I just want to know why you're on the phone. He said, well, he said, because my wife said I had to talk to the maitre d' myself. So you can certainly understand.
Do you really understand? You guys have just lost a big game, and your coach is on the phone with a restaurant making reservations?
But like I said, it was a restaurant that they had not had the opportunity to go to. My understanding was that I talked to a couple of players. A lot of the wives are bugging people. Bugging husbands and saying, look, you know, I want in, and I want in now because this restaurant is supposed to kick ass. And so, the husbands are saying, all right, well, whatever. You know, what am I supposed to say? You know, I love you. Can't live without you. So we'll do the very best we can. We got two very tough games coming up. We're going to be on the road. We're at home here, and then we're going to road out in L.A., and these two last games are going to be ugly.
So when you say ugly, do you guys think you can win them?
No, I don't think we can. I don't think we're going to win Portland. I don't think we can beat L.A. either. I think we're going to wind up getting humiliated, and then I'll probably ask for a trade.
So you are going to ask for a trade. You got any ideas?
Well, I know that Houston, that's where my offseason home is. I know they've expressed interest in me, and they're lousy, but they're willing to pay a little more money than Milwaukee.
All right, well, we wish you the very best of luck, Big E. I thank you very much for being our special guest here on our postgame and for joining us here on our postgame. We've got a certificate for good for two people at John's House of Gas in New Berlin. You can suck down all the gas you want, and, you know, it's a nice way to spend a Friday evening with, you know, a date night.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. Thank you.
All right. Biggie Little and...
God, yeah, that guy's pretty much down on the team, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he is, but who can blame him? Biggie Little, the nose tackle of the Milwaukee Lions, that just about wraps it up for today. And if it doesn't, it wraps it up for me. I'm leaving. Lions Line, a presentation of Wang Sports. Join us on Sunday, folks. We got the Portland Logs here. Brett Morse and I calling all the play-by-play action at 1 o'clock. And then, as you just heard from Biggie, a week from Sunday, we'll be in L.A. for the final game of the season against the L.A. Tan at Monkme Field there in Dominguez Hills, California. For all of us here at Wang Radio and the Lions Line the show with Earl Cooch and Brett Morrison and Touch, wherever you are, having dinner with Mama.
Having dinner with his mama.
This is Jack Igagdor saying so long, everybody.
Lions Line, brought to you by Johnny's House of Gas, and by Rick Priel's Speed Shop, and by Worcester's Headache Powder. Man, when your heads are ready to come undone, there's nothing like Worcester's. Nothing in the world like Worcester's. It's sweet, it's petite, and Worcester's will shrink your head, even to the size of an apple, to make you feel better. Worcester's, the only headache powder that will shrink your head to the size of an apple to get you to feel like a human again. WANG Wang, stay tuned for Kurt Douchebag! Conservative talk radio at its best on Wang.
Merry Christmas!